The reading is from Isaiah, book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 43, if you care to follow. It's Isaiah 43, and I'm going to read the first seven verses. So that's Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 1 to 7. Hear the word of the Lord. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
Well, it is great to be with you tonight and to open up God's word together. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to leave them open to Isaiah 43. Well, what do you fear? What makes you afraid? I'm not just talking about those common fears, those fears like bugs or heights or public speaking. I mean, what do you really fear? What makes you deeply afraid? What is that fear that keeps you up at night? That's always eating away at your heart, gnawing away at your mind? No doubt for many of us here tonight, it's the fear of failure. We're afraid of flunking out of school or ending up in a dead-end career. Maybe we're worried about not measuring up to our own expectations or to our family's expectations for us. Or if that's not you, maybe some of you here tonight are afraid of being single and all alone. You're worried that Mr. Right or Mrs. Right will never come along. And for others who are a little bit older, maybe your fears are for your family, for your children or your grandchildren. You open the newspaper, you turn on the news, and you worry, you're afraid. What is the world? What is the future of this world for my children? Maybe you're even worried about their spiritual well-being. And then on top of everything else, on top of all of the other fears that are constantly tempting to grip our heart, there's that universal fear, the fear of death. And yes, sometimes we're afraid of our own death. But really, sometimes what we're even more afraid of is losing the people we know and love. We're afraid of losing our parents or our kids or our spouse or our lifelong best friend. In one way or another, whether it's failure or family or death or a thousand other things, all of us are constantly being tempted to fear. Well, friends, if you know what it's like to sometimes be fearful and frightened, then the passage in front of us tonight, Isaiah 43, is a passage for you. Because it's a passage that gives us a remarkable message of courage and comfort and hope. But before we see what that message is, we need to take just a moment to understand the context of this passage. Tonight, it's a little bit like we're parachuting right in to the middle of the book of Isaiah. And so we need to take just a moment to step back and to survey our surroundings to see where it is that we've landed in this book. And at least generally speaking, the book of Isaiah, it can be divided into two main parts. In the first half of the book, in chapters 1 to 39, time and time again, God sends his people a message through Isaiah the prophet, confronting them with their sin and their rebellion. And all throughout these chapters, God is warning the people that exile is coming. But then the second half of the book opens in chapter 40 with remarkable words, words of encouragement and hope, words some of you probably know very well. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And then all throughout the second half of his book, time and time again, the prophet Isaiah returns to this message of comfort and encouragement and hope, looking at it from different angles, reassuring the people of God's comfort. And here tonight in Isaiah 43, we come to one such message of comfort. Comfort for God's fearful and frightened people as they faced the threat of exile 2,700 years ago. And comfort for God's people in Bull Creek tonight. Even fearful and frightened people like you and me. In fact, the message of this passage, the message for us tonight is simply this. Do not fear, because God is with his people. Do not fear, because God is with his people. And tonight we'll look at this passage and we'll look at its message by first considering God's command not to fear. And then we'll see three reasons for comfort and encouragement and hope. First, God's command. The central command of our passage, it comes to us in verse 1. Look at verse 1 again. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Two simple words, two little words, fear not. And if you glance down at verse 5, you'll see that verse opens in the exact same way with the exact same words, fear not. In other words, at one level, God's command to his people, it's very simple, it's very straightforward. Fear not, do not be afraid. And this command not to fear, not to be afraid, it's all the more striking when we remember who it is Isaiah is talking to. Remember, this is a nation facing the threat and the reality of exile. But even as the nation faces impending judgment, God sends them a message by the prophet Isaiah, a message of encouragement and hope. And he tells them, yes, yes, you will go into exile. Or in verse 2, you will face the fires and the waters of exile. But God tells them, even when you are in a far-off land, even when you are in a foreign country, even then, you do not need to fear. And this command, not to fear, it's not just addressed to the Israelites 2,700 years ago. If we had time, we could see that this command is repeated time and time again all throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New. We've heard two of them already tonight. In fact, this command not to fear, not to be afraid, it's one of the most frequent, one of the most repeated commands in all of Scripture. And I think one of the reasons that God tells the Israelites and he tells us time and time again not to fear is because God knows our weakness. He understands that in 1,000 different ways, fear is constantly tempting us to grip and to overwhelm our hearts. And time again, God tells the Israelites and he tells us two simple words. Fear not. Well, if you're anything like me, by this point, you're probably thinking, well, Tim, that's really easy to say, isn't it? It really is just two simple words. But you know, when the rubber hits the road, when exile comes upon the nation, or when you and I drive home from church tonight and the problems, all the problems of our life haven't suddenly disappeared. When that unexpected bill shows up in the mail next week and we have no idea, absolutely no idea how we're going to pay it. Or that relationship that we pinned all our hopes and dreams on comes crashing to the ground. When our family or our future or all of our plans are spiraling completely out of control. When that happens, how in the world are we not going to fear? When that happens, how are we not going to be afraid? Well, thankfully, God doesn't just give the Israelites and he doesn't just give us a command. Now, here in Isaiah 43, God gives us three major reasons that we do not need to fear. Three remarkable truths to remember when we're tempted to be afraid. So in the time we have left, let's look at each of these three reasons in turn. First, God's command, fear not. But now reason number one, God's costly redemption of his people. God's costly redemption of his people. Why do the Israelites not need to fear? Why don't you and I need to be afraid? Well, Isaiah tells us the reason at the end of verse 1. God says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And as you probably know, to redeem, it means to purchase or to buy the freedom of something. To pay the price so that someone else may be delivered from slavery and bondage. And here God tells the people of Israel, you don't need to be afraid, you don't need to fear, because I have redeemed you. Probably bringing into view the way that God redeemed, that he bought the people from slavery in Egypt and settled them in the promised land. But then notice God doesn't just remind the people of Israel of their redemption. Time and time again, he emphasizes just how costly that redemption really was. Look at verse 3. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Or verse 4, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. And again, this is bringing into view the Exodus and maybe even the Passover from Egypt. And the point that Isaiah is making, the point that God is making, is that Israel's redemption was costly. It was a redemption secured at the price of people's very lives. And then in verses 5 through 7, God tells them, yes, you will be scattered in exile. But because I have redeemed you, I will gather you back to myself, even from the ends of the earth. And the logic here in Isaiah 43, it seems to be this. It seems that God is saying, if I have redeemed you in the past, if I was willing to redeem you despite the cost, if I was willing even to pay nations in exchange for your life, then do you really have any reason to fear? Do you really need to be afraid that I will forget you or forsake you in the future? God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Reason number one, God's costly redemption. But now, closely related to that, reason number two, God's compassionate character, God's compassionate character. Fear not, and then look at verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And don't miss this. Don't miss this. Because God does not say, he does not say to the people of Israel, don't worry, don't be afraid, because you are so amazing. You are so courageous. You are so powerful. And so because of how amazing you are, Israel, you don't need to fear. No, that's not what God says. God says, do not fear because of who your God is. Do not fear, God says, because I am the Lord. I am the Lord, your God. The God who has chosen you. The God who has entered into covenant relationship with you. The God who is willing to be called the Holy One. Listen to this, the Holy One of Israel. God tells his people, fear not, but remember the character of your God. And then notice the aspect of God's character that's highlighted in these verses. It's especially his compassion and his love. In fact, when this passage was read out for us, did you hear verse 4? Did you hear those remarkable words of God's love for his people? Listen to it again. God says, because you are precious in my eyes and honored. And I love you. I love you. And friends, isn't that what all of us long to hear? Don't we long to hear from our parents, son, daughter, I love you? Don't we long to have our kids or our grandkids or our nieces or our nephews run into our arms and give us a big hug and look us up in the eyes and tell us, I love you? Isn't it those three simple but profound words that we long to hear? But friends, just think of it. Just think of it. God, the one who verse 7 tells us formed his people, who created them from nothing, who made them for his glory. God, the Holy One of Israel, the pure, the righteous, the just, the all-knowing, the all-wise, the all-powerful God of this universe. The Lord, Yahweh, I am, the one who is seated in glory above the angels, who is from everlasting to everlasting, who dwells in unapproachable light and has no need of his creation or his creatures. This very God stoops down in tender love and compassion. And he says to the Israelites, to this rebellious and sinful and wayward people, he says to them, do not fear, because you are precious in my sight, and I love you. Friends, this is the remarkable love and compassion of the Lord. And it's precisely because of this remarkable love and compassion for his people that God is willing to redeem them at such a remarkable cost. And you know, the amazing news for us here tonight is that this love and compassion of the God of the universe, it's not just for the people of Israel 2,700 years ago. Isaiah tells us, verse 6, it is for even people from the ends of the earth. People in far-off Perth, Australia, like you and me tonight. It is for everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. Because as those who live on this side of the cross, we have seen these two realities. these two reasons not to fear even more clearly than the people of Israel. We have seen God's compassionate character and his costly redemption on full display because we have seen them at the cross of Jesus Christ. God's compassionate character. Listen, what greater love could there be than that God the Father would send his one and only Son into this world to suffer and to die for our sins? And God's costly redemption. At the cross, God doesn't give Egypt or Cush for our ransom. He doesn't give peoples or nations for our salvation. Instead, at the cross, God gives the greatest cost of all. He gives his own precious Son, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. Because at the cross, Jesus doesn't just pass through the fires and the waters of this life. At the cross, Jesus tastes the fire and the water of God's judgment, so that you and I, so that every single person who trusts in Jesus Christ, God says to us, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Fear not, because you are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you." And dear friends, if we are loved by this God, if this God is our Savior and our Redeemer, then do we really need to be afraid? Do we really need to be afraid of whatever the future might bring? Do we really need to be afraid of losing our job or our savings or our health or our reputation? Do we really need to fear the waters and the fires of this life? Now, even if those things come, Isaiah tells us, even then we do not need to fear. Because in Jesus Christ, we see God's love for sinners, sinners like us, on full display. And in Jesus Christ, we see the true cost of our redemption, the Son of God himself. But if that's not amazing enough, Isaiah gives us one more reason not to fear. Reason number three, God's constant presence. God's constant presence. Look at verse 5 again. God says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And again, isn't that exactly what all of us want to hear? Isn't that what we want to hear when we're afraid? Doesn't the child learning to ride the bike, don't they want the simple reassurance that their parent is right there with them? Or when we wake up scared to death from that terrible dream, don't we want to know that we're not alone, that someone else is nearby? But here in Isaiah 43, God himself is promising that he will be with his people. He will be with them and he will be with us even when our world seems to be falling apart. In fact, isn't that the point of verse 2? "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame, it will not consume you." And here the language of the water, it reminds us of the way that God was with his people even as they passed through the Red Sea and the Jordan River. And just like God was with the Israelites then, now centuries later through the prophet Isaiah, he is telling them yet again, "I will still be with you. I will still be with you when you pass through the fires of this life. And here, in the context of Isaiah 43, this promise of God's presence in the midst of fire, it's reassurance for a people about to go into exile. Because even as the Israelites face the trials of exile, even then they do not need to be afraid. Because even then, God will still be with his people. Years after Isaiah's prophecy, Daniel's friends, they found out that God's promise is trustworthy and true. You remember the story? Nebuchadnezzar ordered that all the people in Babylon bow down to his statue. But Daniel's friends refused. And so in a fit of rage, in a fit of fury, Nebuchadnezzar ordered that Daniel's friends be thrown into the fiery furnace. And the furnace was turned up so hot that the soldiers who threw them in, that they were burned. But what happened to Daniel's friends, to those men who feared the Lord? They were completely unharmed. The hair on their heads wasn't singed. Their clothes weren't burned. There wasn't even the smell of smoke on their body. Because God was with them. Because God's promise in Isaiah 43, it is trustworthy and true. Even when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame, it will not consume you. Do not fear, because God promises his constant presence with his people. And yet again, this promise of God's presence, it points us forward to Jesus Christ. In fact, this promise of God's presence, it reminds us not just of Jesus' earthly ministry, when God himself really was present among his people in the person of Christ. It also reminds us of those famous last words of Jesus to his disciples. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And after Jesus spoke those words, after he gave his people that promise of his constant presence, he ascended on high, and he poured out his Holy Spirit on his people, so that for everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ, for Christians in Bull Creek tonight, you have the constant presence of God himself. Even now, he is with us by his Spirit. And brothers and sisters, that means that when we wake up in the middle of the night, worried and anxious and afraid, even then, God is with us. And when the doctor calls with that dreaded diagnosis, God is with us. When our future and our family is falling apart, God is with us. God doesn't promise us a life of smooth sailing, but he does promise us that through all the trials of this life, he will be with us by his Spirit. And because of that promise, we do not need to fear. God's command, fear not. Reason number one, God's costly redemption. He has given Jesus Christ, his Son, as our ransom. Reason number two, God's compassionate character. In Jesus Christ, we see God's love for sinners on full display. And reason number three, God's constant presence. Even when we pass through the waters and the trials of this life, God will still be with us by his Spirit. So friends, what makes you afraid? In this life, there are 1,000 different reasons to fear. But the glorious news for us tonight, the glorious news of the gospel is simply this. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ, whatever this world might bring, you are eternally secure because Jesus has taken the fire of God's judgment in our place. In beautiful, in memorable, in much-loved words, the hymn writer puts it this way. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Brothers and sisters, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, this is your God, and he is with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the remarkable comfort that your word gives us. Thank you for the depth of your love for us in Jesus Christ. And thank you for your promise to be with us forever by your Spirit. Lord, help us to not just hear your word, but by that Spirit to put it into action in our lives. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.